Do you have any older friends or relatives maybe who just don't use Twitter at all?
Sure. I've got plenty of relatives who don't. I'd say the ones who don't are probably in the majority, though at one point my mom did create a Twitter account.
So how do you explain what you do on Twitter to them?
I basically try to explain to them that I'm trying to cover conflicts and revolutions that are taking place in parts of the world, and I'm using new technologies to find stories that otherwise would never be documented. If you go back to any conflict prior to the social media age, if you wanted to find stories of people who were caught in the middle of it on the ground, either they had to be found by someone in mainstream media, or perhaps they wrote a diary and later on a family member got it published. It just wasn't usual for civilians or revolutionaries or any people like that to have their stories told in the middle of the conflict. Well, because of social media, that's now possible. So what I try to do is raise those stories in a way that people can experience them in real time.
During the Arab Spring, you spent upwards of 17 hours a day on Twitter and even ignored parts of your job at NPR.
For a while, yes.
So what was the experience like for you emotionally, being so engrossed in these conflicts but also so distant and separated from them?
It's kind of odd because there were times where I'm interacting with people who are in mortal danger, yet I'm doing it while sitting at a McDonald's with my kids while they're getting ready to finish their Happy Meals and go play on some of the playground equipment there. And so it's in some ways it's the juxtaposition of my regular suburban family life here in the Washington D.C. area, combining that with nonstop discussions with people who are getting shot at and sometimes killed. It creates a kind of stress and confusion that it can be somewhat hard to explain. But I think the best analogy is when people who've gotten to know someone only online and they've never met him before, and then they get the news that that person has passed away. You may have never met that person, but it's still a genuine loss. It's just a different type of loss.
So why write a book?
Yeah, that's funny. I get that question a lot because, people will often say, well, you specialize in 140 characters or less. There's a bit of an irony, but I think the main reason I decided to do it is because social media can be so ephemeral. Until very recently, for example, Twitter didn't give people access to their archives of tweets. Using search engines, it was hard to find tweets and Facebook posts that, maybe from a year or two ago. And so the way I looked at it is because I had documented all of these stories and had archived it while going on, it seemed like an opportunity for me to go back and reflect on the ones that I thought were the most powerful stories, but also try to capture them in such a way that it feels almost real time for those people who didn't experience it the first time around.
Okay. Well, Andy Carvin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.